been away over Easter and are seeing all of this and wondering what on earth that's about. So just a word to explain that Good Friday we were plaiting together out of the experience of Holy Week, the three bands of fabric that, can people remember what they represented? The black represented suffering, the gold represented thanksgiving and hope, and the green represented the growth that we come out of the cross. So then on Easter Sunday, the fabric was then uplifted in resurrection, and we saw the cross bloom, and we looked at the symbolism of the butterfly as a symbol of resurrection. So that's what that is behind me. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's the month of April already, and we're into our third holy habit alongside eating together that we started exploring back in February and prayer in March. We now add to it the habit of fellowship. It's not that we have done the first two and ticked them off, but rather we're now carrying all three of these holy habits being woven into our lives as people who are called to follow Jesus. So I wonder what you think of when you hear the word fellowship. What does it do in your head? You're allowed to answer me. Meeting together. Yep. Pardon? A friendship, yep. Yeah, I've been reflecting on it, and I think the term fellowship is this word that kind of gets tossed around a bit in churches, and I think often we end up it being kind of dumbed down to our chat. It points to this quality of relationship and activity, which is so much deeper than any chit-chat over a tepid cup of tea and a soggy digestive that sadly passes as fellowship too often. It's this power of the community that lies in the willingness of its members to testify to Christ's resurrection. In this morning's gospel reading, the disciples are gathered together, but their focus is kind of fear and doubt. And only when each one, later including Thomas, is willing to testify to the resurrection is the stage set for great grace that flows so freely in the Acts story, that story of community and fellowship. So fellowship is about our shared reality. But Scripture then takes that understanding and kind of adds to it. For as followers of Jesus, our shared reality is grounded in the way we're first and foremost called to live in Christ. The early church took this word fellowship or koinonia and gave it this new depth. So I've been sitting with this word fellowship for the last couple of weeks, and I've grappled with the way that this word has lost its radical edge in our day and place. For us here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, it's not that commonly used a word. So I was exploring what other words we have that help us in this. And as I looked around, I was drawn to the Māori word, whanaungatanga. This is becoming a much more commonly used word today, especially in our schools. And it's talking about relationship and the sense of whānau connection. Whanaungatanga is created not just by blood ties, but through shared experiences and through working together, and it provides people with a sense of belonging. It comes with rights and obligations which strengthen the whānau. So as I explored this definition of whanaungatanga, I felt even more drawn to it. Shared experience and working together that creates a sense of belonging. To ground that in an understanding of our shared experience of being in Christ and working together to build the kingdom of God with all its rights and responsibilities, strengthening our sense of belonging seems such a wonderful fit. Better in many ways than our understanding of fellowship, which can feel quite superficial. And when I look at our society, I see loneliness as a very real thing for a lot of people. And loneliness seems to be the flip side of whanaungatanga. Our postmodern world tends to emphasise the individual over the community and rights over responsibilities. Our connections to place get diminished and our connections are minimised. But Whanaungatanga recognises that our identity comes from our connectedness to people, to place, and to God. That is the Christian reality. Our new identity comes from our connectedness to Christ and the place of the cross. We cannot live effectively as isolated Christians. Whanaungatanga has many aspects, but they include whakapapa, manaakitanga, and karaititanga. Firstly, whakapapa, our genealogy, the way we're connected with family and with our cultural history. Matthew 1 reminds us of the importance of genealogy as we read of the genealogy of Jesus. It's important to know our own stories, where we come from and how they form us. And it was important that Jesus was located within a story, in a real family with an authentic history. We need to honour and value where people come from, including the family connections and the wider culture. Secondly, there's manaakitanga, which is all about hospitality, the way we build bridges of connection with others. Mana refers to an individual's spiritual dignity, and aki means to encourage or to spur on. So manaaki means to encourage the dignity and worth of others. As we honour and encourage others, we increase our own mana. Manaakitanga is ultimately the goal of Christian hospitality. Nurturing an environment of welcome is an important part of whanaungatanga, or fellowship. And thirdly is karaititanga, which is our unity in Christ. In Christ, there is unity regardless of our cultural background. We are whānau, brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong to one another because we belong to Christ. That is where our unity is based. So our fellowship as Christians involves nurturing our own unique stories while welcoming others and working together in unity as the body of Christ. How wonderful that just as Paul connected what it meant to live as a follower of Jesus to his culture, so we, here in this land, can explore what it means to follow Jesus in the understanding of our tangata whenua. It might not always be comfortable, but as we grapple with that, what Christian unity looks like in our growing diversity, it's an important part of the journey. So when we go back to our reading from 1 John 1, when we read about seeing what was there, the life revealed and the word of life, declaring all of that, and that leads to fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus, and fellowship with them. And that fellowship is there as walking in the light, and if we walk in the dark, the fellowship is not there at all. So fellowship, or whanaungatanga, is vital for belonging. And John is clear that this is based on what we have experienced in Christ. It is out of the Easter events and our entering into them through Christ that we then have this special fellowship with one another as Christians. Our fellowship with one another is grounded in our fellowship with Jesus. And it's this fellowship that makes our joy complete. And out of this fellowship that we choose to live in will come a particular way of living, a way that John refers to as living in the light. This fellowship with Christ and with each other takes us to a whole new way of living. Not that we become perfect, says John, because that would just be deceiving ourselves, but that we confess our sin and are forgiven, and then we keep on working at this way of fellowship living. Living in the light is to live in a way that lives out our real belonging. That means there's a shared life together, sharing the good and the bad, and as the gospel puts it, being of one heart and one soul. The power of the early church was in its willingness to share all they had for the building of the kingdom. Believing led them to such a strong sense of belonging that no one went hungry. Remember the words we read from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Fellowship. So this has been a bit of an introduction to the holy habit of fellowship. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to dig a bit deeper into this habit, looking at fellowship in terms of our commitment in Christ and fellowship in terms of our commitment to one another. But for now, I ask you to take some time over the next week to reflect on how you do or don't devote yourself to fellowship. What does that look like for you here at KPC and beyond? Is it what you think it should be, or are there aspects that you want to change? And as we sing our next song, asking God to bind us together, perhaps that could be your prayer, that our fellowship, our whanaungatanga, will be deeply bound together in love. May it be so. Amen. Let's sing, "Bind Us Together, Lord."